Training them with the constant brainwashing and calls to worship Britannia and to hate our ancestral enemies, the Frenchies. Oh, the French. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. And now, for all of you Anglophiles out there, prepare for the pain. Dogs of the people that are soft killing them. And nothing against England. I mean, I got a lot of English, you know, blood myself. You know, one of my ancestors, Gresham, invented the stock exchange on record. I Gresham came over on the Mayflower, both sides.
And the King of England is the sworn enemy of humanity.
He couldn't stand the Queen of England. That's in mainline history books. Because she was a nymphomaniac.
Oh, you didn't know the Queen of England's husband was a Nazi? You didn't know his cousin, the star of the Bilderberg Group, was? If you don't wake up and say no, you deserve to die.
And again, folks, I've got extensive British lineage. So did George Washington, and he absolutely defeated the Transylvanian king. They're not British, they're not Scottish, they're not Irish, they're not Gaelic, they're not Viking. Prince Charles is the heir of Count Dracula. That's like the Queen doesn't run anything, folks. She runs that whole country. She shuts down roads in England every day randomly to exercise her power. And everybody loves me with an English accent. You don't have a snotty. Shut up! You don't have a snot nose. I am Piers Morgan, my dear man. Get over that man. I cannot breathe through my snoot, my proboscis, while I talk to you. I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. The show is called 8 out of 10 Cats. And this is how our society is turning into a tyranny. Everything is now a big joke. The Queen of England has now joined with the United States and the West. And so the Transylvanian Queen knows which way the wind is blowing and can see that Trump and America are winning. Oh, now she's coming in like the deus ex, the hero that comes at the last moment when the main hero is going to lose. Queen Elizabeth, this action has now become the Han Solo of deus ex. It's knowledge, right?
My name is Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple of dudes who like to wrap up a tour of the UK.
Sure.
Miss the shit out of my cat. I'm going to see her in like 24 hours-ish. And talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is getting to experience the UK. It's been a lovely trip. Bouncing. I'm pandering now. I'm going to pander to y'all.
I think you would be pandering if people didn't believe you. Everybody here is like, oh, I'm sure he had a great time.
It's been lovely. nice times out at out in Glasgow, Manchester, yep. And now here in London.
Yep, yep.
It's Belfast.
We did not make it to Belfast. Would have.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't welcome.
You know, it's been. I've had issues since the Troubles, so.
So my bright spot specifically, though, is I was walking around earlier today. I was down by the Thames. That's how we're supposed to pronounce it, right?
Yeah.
All right. And so here's my bright spot.
Were you going to say Thames?
Thames.
Because that's how you spell it. Y'all like to spell words incorrectly.
Oh, shit. see, here's what happened. Jordan didn't get his ass kicked in Glasgow.
Right.
And so he's trying to get it done before the end of the tour.
Totally. If I get on that plane without a fucking black eye, what are we even doing here?
How much fun would it have been for continuity if you just showed up in London with just like just bruises all over?
It would be pretty good.
I'm walking around by the Thames, mm-hmm. and what do I see but a group of old people walking around.
Bastards!
Well, but here's what they were doing.
What?
They were like staring intently at weeds. Like, you know, the things that come up from between the concrete?
From the ground.
Yeah.
That you don't want there.
Yeah, that are everywhere.
So were they, like, wistfully staring at them?
They were studying them. And it appeared that they were on some kind of a walking tour of, like, weed studying. It was the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I was so mad at them because I envy that,
yeah.
that simple life.
TripAdvisor gave that 2 stars.
Generous.
The weed walk.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you're like, oh no. Not what I was hoping for.
It's not your style.
Completely wrong type of thing.
Yeah. They were thrilled. The only thing I remember hearing overheard at the weed tour was, look at those seed pods.
That, if I ever say that, those should be my last words.
Yeah.
Somebody should be behind me going like, well, it's time for you to be done.
But still so intensely jealous of people who can really get excited for weed seed pods. So anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, and I mean, it is, you know, like you're excited to get home and see your cat.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but I have a wife and like 2 pups. So just numerically, I want to be home more.
Yeah, but I think the intensity with which I love my cat trumps your wife and dogs.
Wow. Wow.
And that's not to say you don't love your wife and dogs.
I just
love my cat.
I think it is to say that you think I'm a psychopath and capable of true love. Trapped in a... No. No, I'm really excited. I'm not a... You know, like, this has been one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Woo!
Being able to, you know, like what we've done for so long is talk to each other in a room.
It's true. It's very similar to this, but slightly different.
Yeah. Yeah. So to be able to meet so many people and to see people meet each other and like the connections people made, so many people have come here by themselves and then by the end of it, they're walking out of here with a group. You know, like these are the types of things that are way better than just doing a good show.
Yep.
This is, like, what's truly meaningful. Don't aww.
Jordan, the emotional panderer.
Yeah, but I do believe it.
Ooh.
No. This is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And it is, like, I am so tired. I am so tired.
Yeah, we're just getting used to the time difference jet lag, and now we're gonna fucking go reverse it.
I had my first good night's sleep in a week and a half.
Congratulations.
And now we're going to go back on a plane.
Have another week and a half of shit sleep.
Yep.
Better be.
All right.
And it is going to be easier because we'll just be at home and we won't have to do shows.
Yeah, it'll be a lot easier.
So that'll help.
Yes, so my bright spot is simultaneously being here and leaving here in an almost Buddhist representation of what is possible in the universe.
Namaste.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Oh, do?
Yeah, we do. We're going to be talking about June 5th through 9th, 2013.
Ooh, this is our first multi-day show.
Of the tour, yes.
Yeah, that means that there's a narrative across...
There is.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea why I might have chosen that date?
What were the dates again? Restart the dates.
June 5th through 9th, 2013.
2013, mm-hmm. June 5th through 9th. Was there a football match...
That went 4 days?
Actually, you know what? Y'all do that shit! Y'all do 4 day shit! How dare you?
Sorry.
It could be 4 days.
All right.
Okay.
No, that's not it.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
So I searched far and wide for, you know, an example of a time that Alex Jones himself was in London.
Right.
And it so turns out that we got very close because this is the period of Bilderberg 2013.
Right.
And Alex did come to Watford.
Scenic Watford.
And he came to London a couple times. So this is coverage of the period of time Alex Jones was in London.
Love it.
No response. Just
Well, they listen, we're here in London. They go, yay! Alex is here in London. They're like, where?
So, as promised, I wrote a song parody.
I won't be needed for this one.
Now, I'm not in love with this. Nope, it's not that. Nope, not to that tune. It's to the tune of Werewolves in London. Werewolves of London. I'm going to give this a try.
All right.
I have no karaoke track, but that's okay.
All right.
I saw an unhoused person with a microchip in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for a thick-necked man named Alex Jones, who says pulling it out on air will be off the chain. Woo! Alex Jones in London. Woo! Alex Jones in London. Neighbors hear him growling at their kitchen door. You best not let him in. Liberal old lady got her ass eaten late last night. Alex Jones in London again. Woo! Alex Jones in London. Woo! He's that thick-necked gent, always selling supplements. He thinks they're selling children at Wayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll stomp your guts out, wolf. I'd love to meet his tailor. That's just a line from the song. I didn't even change that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you gotta have that one in
there. I'd love to meet his tailor.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Woo! Alex Jones in London.
So I'm a big fan of your...
You all are too kind.
What I like is your range.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Sure.
You go all the way up to a low C, and then all the way down to a low C.
So, Jordan, today we're going to start here on the 5th.
Okay.
And this is, where Alex is checking in. Just to give you all a little bit of lay of the land, what happens throughout all of these episodes is that David Knight is hosting from...
These people are like, oh, we got cheated out of a good one.
Well, here's the thing. David Knight is hosting from Austin, and then in the second hour, Alex will pop up.
Okay.
And so he pops in to do a little bit of bullshit.
Sure.
And so here we start on the 5th, and this is where Alex's bullshit is at.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting worldwide from north of London, England, here in Watford. I'm coming to you from our impromptu hotel room, which turned into kind of a press command center with at least five of our reporters here writing stories for Infowars.com. Let me just tell the syndicated radio audience and everyone else what's coming up now that we're into the second hour. David Knight did the first hour. He'll be riding shotgun with me in the second and third hour. And then Jakari Jackson's coming in a fourth hour of overdrive and maybe out beyond that, because it had been my intention today to drive in this morning to London and to go show the changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace, complete, parasitic corruption being worshipped. I was going to also go show the city of London within London, the financial district that is the dominant center of the world of real globalist Rothschild, Rockefeller-type corruption. And then I was going to go to a couple other places, but then BBC Newsnight, the biggest program in the UK, but one of the biggest news programs worldwide. I mean, it's on mainstream television in the US. It's probably one of the biggest news programs in the world, if not the biggest. They wanted to interview me. So I'd already gotten to London, and I was getting ready to do some live feeds there, and then come back and cover the beginnings of the Bilderberg meeting tonight that really kicks off tomorrow, when they called and said, please come back, we want to do an in-depth interview with you. And boy, was that a circus.
What a circus.
I mean, yeah, it's probably everybody else's fault it's a circus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Newsnight, not normally a circus.
Yeah.
Inject a clown into it. Now you got a circus.
I am. There's a few things, right? I don't know what an impromptu hotel is. It feels like to me that means that Alex and got a bunch of friends, and we're like, well, we got to get some bricks. We got to get this shit done. Mm-hmm.
And then they rented rooms to other people.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
they would have to. Yeah.
They got to break even on supplies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
He invented the Airbnb early. Yes, that is what happened. That's actually the theme of the episode. Alex invents the Airbnb.
Absolutely. And then the idea. Yeah. The idea of Alex, because you know that it's actually like a weird fanboy thing.
Of the changing of the guard?
He wants to see the changing of the guard.
Yeah.
Like, it is something that he's like,
look at me. Look at me.
I wonder if I can make them talk to me. Sure.
You work for Dracula.
Yeah. And I mean, in Alex's case, it is almost reasonable. Like, the rest of us mortals, they can't make those people talk. They're awesome. But Alex?
Maybe.
That's a force of nature.
Yeah, it's an immovable object and a force, whatever that expression is.
Yeah, an unbeatable shitbag.
Yeah.
What?
So Alex is going to do this show, and then he has big plans for this overdrive in the fourth hour.
Okay.
In about an hour, I'm going to leave here again, jump on the train, go back into London, and I plan to broadcast live from Big Bend and Parliament. And so in the fourth hour of Overdrive, I will be broadcasting from right outside Big Bend. And there's so much free speech in London, the police will probably try to stop me with an iPhone talking into it. And because believe me, they're watching everything we're doing. You can't let slaves get the idea that they could use a phone to go broadcast from the streets of London. But regardless, we're going to do it.
Spoiler alert, no cops stop him at any point.
Oh, yeah?
No one gives a fuck what he's doing.
I do appreciate his way of being like, I'm just going to see some sights.
Yeah. I'm going to broadcast myself doing tourist shit and pretend it's important.
Yeah, it is like, I'm taking my wife and kids. We're going to see Big Ben. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be really cool.
I'm going to go down to the Thames River and watch some people look at weeds. It's going to be a grand old time. I do also like the Big Bend.
Yeah.
That is fun. I mean, he says drowning.
So here's the thing.
Puts D's where they don't belong.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to throw this out at you.
Yes.
All right.
Please.
If you are broadcasting in front of Big Ben,
mm-hmm.
I imagine you have to have the camera close enough where you can be seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben,
big.
Nomenclature.
It's big.
Very big.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't even know. It could just be a brick window, a brick thing. It could have been his impromptu hotel.
It could be. But presumably the stream would involve them getting closer and closer to Big Bend.
Right.
Which is actually the name of a national park in the United States. Not to be confused with the giant clock.
Really?
Isn't it Big Bend?
Oh.
Isn't it?
I have no idea.
Holy shit, let's get out of here.
Okay, we gotta go. We gotta get to Big Bend.
We ruined the show by speculating about a national park. So Alex has one big narrative that goes throughout this episode, and that is that the people at Bilderberg are so scared of the things that he's doing that they have decided to have internal negotiations about whether or not they're going to go public.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if I understand correctly, Alex, broadcasting in front of Big Ben, so terrifying that the Bilderberg group is like, what do we do?
Oh,
we can't not reveal ourselves, can we?
Mm. He's been screaming about us for years, but he's finally on British soil.
Yeah, like, what is the difference between him being in here and not?
Ah, let me tell you. He needs something to get people excited.
That's a really good point.
And so that's what's happening.
I mean, yeah, because the only difference would be, like, literally if he could physically assault the queen.
Sure. Well, at this point, she wasn't on the good guys' team.
Oh, that's true.
So he could have.
She was directly related to Dracula.
Yes. By marriage. Yeah, Dracula's my second cousin on my... So Alex discusses in this clip his sources about the idea that the Bilderberg group is going to have a press conference
about
how they're evil or something.
Sure.
And it involves Peter Thiel, interestingly.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
There's not enough guys.
I was already told by two, well, a senatorial aide and then somebody else in the Senate. I'm just going to leave it at that. It wasn't technically right, two senatorial aides, but I'm trying to. The point is, Senate sources. So hard keeping track of all these sources and trying to not blow their cover. That they had met with members of the Bilderberg group or people that were members saying, look, we may just go public on this whole deal and the whole global governance program. And then I'm meeting with the head guy or gal. I'm not going to say who.
Oh,
I mean, well, there's a guy and a gal.
Good cover up.
The individual in the government, in the British government, who's giving, well, better not say that. The point is I meet with
a high-level individual liaisoning in all this, and they confirm what I was told by two Senate connections months ago, and I happened to be at a party that had some of the biggest people in media at it.
Some of the biggest people in media.
Yeah.
Like, and I think was it the Queen? Do you think he was talking about the Queen?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I just can't get out of my mind, like, Alex just being like, okay, these Bilderberg group are completely different from me. They're like the elites and all of that stuff. However, on all of the stories that I tell about them, they're somehow always like, fine, fuck it. Mm-hmm. We'll just tell everybody. Almost exactly like I might do.
That is interesting that they do seem to have similar emotional outbursts.
It is so weird how they can control the world and yet exactly act like Alex.
You know what? We may never solve that mystery of why there are similarities.
It's impossible to know.
So Alex gets distracted while talking about the important issues that surround the Bilderberg group in the meeting.
Sure.
And gets caught up thinking about how many people love him. And he's blown away.
The point is that we have people driving by honking their horns, people beep, beep, stopping on bicycles and motorbikes that are listeners who live in Watford. I rode on the train to London, and a third of the people on the train, in front of my crew, in London, were shaking my hand. Old women, young men, black people, white people, everybody.
Oh, no.
I mean, Richard Reeves was there. It is incredible. And I had listeners coming over going, you don't know how big you are. Everyone in my apartment complex listens to you. You don't know. And again, I'm not bragging, hey, we're big.
No,
hey,
no, no,
cool.
No, not at all.
I'm a movie star. I'm not. It's the opposite. I'm giving you the good report that I am in England, and I was here 7 years ago, and we had one-tenth of the people on the street talk to us. And I don't know where all these listeners are, because our numbers show us about 15 million a week one way or the other. How is 15 million a week, I know we're going to break here, translating into people running over to me from Poland and people from Russia and people from South Africa and people from Germany saying my whole family listens. This is incredible. The world is awakening. Big breaking Bilderberg news straight ahead on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
You understand, the world is awakening because people love Alex.
I mean, we've been here for a little bit. I'm not saying that I know a lot. You know, I've been to London before,
right.
You know, years ago.
Yeah.
But I really feel like mobbing people on the train is not your style. Y'all are much more like... That's about it. You know, act outs are great for podcasts.
Sure.
Yep.
I love the, like, the idea that it was a third of the people. Because I was trying to think about that. And, like, what if there were only three people on the train? There was one.
Sure.
I'd believe the story then.
Yeah, it is. That is why you use fractions.
Yeah, if you can lie with fractions
yeah,
pretty easily.
Absolutely. Because fractions are reducible.
Yeah. So, thankfully, Alex doesn't spend too much time on this subject.
Sure.
I lied.
Ah.
The protests and demonstrations haven't even begun. We probably had about 50 people out there today that just spontaneously showed up, and I happened to go over there for about an hour outside the Grove Hotel. And every 20th car or so would drive by and honk and say, Alex Jones. And then people were stopping on bicycles, and I'd go, do you live around here? Yeah. Guys on motorcycles. Yeah, I live in this town. I'm a listener. We all listen. And then I was on the train. And people would say, you're Alex Jones, you're Alex Jones. And I listen. It wasn't just from the Piers Morgan thing that was aired on all the TV over here. And again, that's a good message. People know about the New World Order. If some, you know, egg-headed, you know, guy like me can have all these listeners and viewers, quite frankly, I don't know how it's so massive. That shows that we're not all alone.
We're not alone.
We're not alone. An egghead like Alex Jones.
Yep.
It notorious.
It shows how popular the idea of the New World Order being evil is. So popular that the Bilderberg group is going to have a press conference to say, hello, we're evil.
Which would be a weird press conference.
Yeah, it would.
Folks, it's about time we told you.
We've been playing games for a while now, but...
You know what? Honesty is the best policy for the Bilderberg group.
Right. So yeah, I hate to break it to you, but... This is incessant on this episode.
Alex being obsessed with himself and his own numbers?
His coverage of the Bilderberg meeting is largely about how much people love him.
I am standing outside of my impromptu hotel and one out of every 20 cars honks.
Beep, beep.
So I have decided that I am the most popular man in the world.
Everyone in my apartment building listens to you. My mom loves you.
I do like that, yeah.
So Alex, I think, realizes that maybe some of this is straining belief.
Credulity?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah?
So he has to bring in Richard Reeves, one of his buddies who he's brought over there to
back him up about how popular he is. You're so popular!
Richard Reeves is here. Reluctantly, he's coming on the air. Reeves, tell folks what you've seen here.
All right, folks. Absolutely. Everywhere Alex goes, he's more and more recognized. And I'll tell you why, Alex. The reason is because you know how to articulate and explain and reveal the New World Order to the public. That is the key. Even the police, you're able to deprogram, and even as heavily as they're programmed, Alex has the message to break through. So that's it. I've been running around with Alex doing these different remotes since, I think, around 2007. And I remember one night in Manhattan that we were there during a 9/11 event, and a guy just out of the blue that didn't even know that Alex was in town for events happened to run it and see Alex and hear Alex and say, hello, I recognize you, I've seen your videos. And now more and more as time goes by, that exact same thing happens. They hear Alex's voice first. They can hear him talking. They can hear him talking about, the groom of the stool needs to return to work with the queen. And all of a sudden they say, Alex Jones, I recognize that voice. I hear you. I've seen your videos. What a pleasure and honor to meet you.
Tell folks what happened today on the train.
On the train.
It was just over in London at that restaurant.
Absolutely. Everywhere we go, there's people that recognize the New World Order and know about the New World Order.
Yeah, but it was like a third of the people on the train.
Absolutely. Absolutely. About a third of the people. And it's just amazing. It's great. Pretty soon it'll be half the people. Pretty soon it'll be 75 or 80% of the people. So New World Order, you're in trouble.
Take that, New World Order.
I think that is the least intimidating way I've ever heard you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Amazing.
This is not the best use of time, I think, on Alex's show.
You know, what's so weird about it is, like, I can't believe people were surprised by Trump. After listening to this, where it's like, yeah, that's exactly what he sounded like on the campaign trail. It was just
people
like,
love me.
I had the biggest crowd. Everybody is here. Everybody, there's one out of every four people on this planet keeps coming up to me and saying that they love me. I'm the greatest thing that's ever happened. And you're like, none of this is true. And then he's president, and you're like, I guess all of it's true. I don't know. What is true?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I think someone said something to him on the train. I'm comfortable with that.
I don't think so.
What?
I don't think so. I think this is one of those situations like, I don't even remember like the historical example, but but like a king has people all sitting around there and he's like, this is a horse or whatever. And
sure,
it's actually
sure.
a donkey or something like that. Mm-hmm. And everybody around him is like, no, that's a horse. And then they get killed. But the people who say it's a donkey, you fuck with people's heads.
Right.
To that point.
And so in this case, Richard Reeves is the people?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Richard Reeves is literally like, no one's ever spoken to you on the train. And Alex is like, one third. One third. Say one third.
One third. One
third. All right, yeah, one third.
I also completely forgot, and I have no idea who Richard Reeves is. I know I've heard him on the show before, and we've even talked about him, but he's so unimportant, I've forgotten who he is.
He's a nothing.
And he's like the underwear bomber, right? Or the shoe bomber?
Wait, Richard Reeves was the underwear
bomber? No, Richard Reed was the name of one of those...
One of those bombers?
Yeah, so
we've had too many.
I get confused. So anyway, Alex is really popular.
Yeah.
He's so popular, in fact, that maybe the globalists are meddling with his statistics. In order to gaslight him.
Yeah.
There's too many people liking me on the train. I can't possibly have accurate statistics.
No. It's definitely, I have 15 million people per week because the globalists are tamping my numbers down.
Yeah. This is a sincere suggestion he wastes time talking about.
Wow.
I mean, I got to say, though, and we got to have somebody explain this mystery to us, because I look at our numbers, and we have, you know, like a million visitors a day on average to both the websites, and 3 million or so on the radio and YouTube and everything. You got to get about 50 million a week, one way or another, listen, individuals. If you count, you know, 15 million coming back over and over again, it's like 30-something million a week. But that's what we can track. I don't know how 15 million people a week turns into. And again, I keep marveling at this on air because we get on the train.
He does keep marveling.
He really does.
This Italian woman, but you know, she spoke with a perfect British accent, but she told me her last name, a pretty Italian name. I won't say it.
Right.
Yeah, her name was Desiree, but the last name was so cool. Don't say it on air. The point is, and then the guy next to us, and then this lady, and they're all Alex Jones. And I'm like, you listen? Oh, we all listen. And I mean, it was more than a third on that train. And on the way back, it turns out, you're Alex Jones. You're Alex Jones.
Turns out.
And it was just like, what, in England now? Again, I'm going to come back and cover news when we come back. But the news here, ladies and gentlemen, is that I'm just one little composite of the larger composite eye of awareness of all of us around the world, the consciousness of liberty, seeing the world, seeing justice. I'm just one guy. I'm a humble guy. I'm like the Roth near recluse. That's what I'm really like. I'm here. I cannot believe this many people are awake. I mean, we're close to victory, and they're spying on everything with the NSA and Google. They know the answers that I don't know. Why? How big the audience really is.
That's right. They do. They know. They're spying, putting those numbers down. This is not the news.
I refuse to believe in words anymore.
Sure.
If anyone accepts him saying he's humble.
I'm a like, humble man.
The closest, if you believe that Alex Jones is humble, I believe that language no longer matters.
Mm-hmm. And that we were this close to victory in 2013.
Oh, so close.
You know, so close. They were about to do a press conference.
What's weird is that Alex is also 10 years behind that the globalists have their plans.
Alex, like, he's thinking that they're going to do a press conference and be like, look, Alex Dunn got us. We give up. White flag.
I want to know who writes the script for that press conference.
Probably Peter Thiel. He's the only name that Alex brings up as it relates to this press conference.
Sure, sure. I'm just trying to figure out a way that people who give press conferences regularly, you know, the type of language they use,
mm-hmm.
you know, the kind of innocuous, try and not make waves and not make news kind of voice.
Sure.
Somehow that's just turned into like a, hey, we've killed a trillion people anyways. What we're finding out is that we need a different form of governance, mm-hmm. You know, like...
One world tyranny. That's what we've decided on.
Very blasé one yeah. world tyranny. Yeah.
So look, I mentioned up at the beginning with my bright spot that I've had a great time meeting all sorts of folks all over the UK.
True.
I think people are great.
True.
Alex seems to think that everyone else has a different opinion of you all.
But it says the awakening is huge. I'm embarrassed. People are more awake in England, and there's more of a, their eyes are more connected. This is what it was like growing up in Texas.
Wait, what?
These people are connected. They're smart. Everybody talks about how dumb Brits are. I mean, these people are awake. This Christian lady on the train was reading a C.S. Lewis book.
Whoa!
And
we're on the march.
That was it. The thought trails off. This Christian lady was reading a C.S. Lewis book.
I need to know the end of that story.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I don't even know which
Mere
book it
Christianity?
Was.
Mere Christianity?
It could have been that. Was it The Last Battle?
Mm.
Was it Prince Caspian?
Mm.
Was it Voyage of the Dawn Treader?
A Horse and His Boy?
A Horse and His Boy?
The Silver Chair?
Oh, The Silver Chair. Wait, wasn't that about that guy? Who found that silver chair?
No, it was about the band.
Ah, it was a good band.
I can't remember any others. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Oh, yeah, the first
one. Well, I mean, but...
Listen, were trying to be fancy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just lazy, knowing that one. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, yep.
Oh, that's actually my favorite one. Yeah, it really is. The two rings, and they go into the pools.
Do you remember when they made the movie of that?
They made the movie.
The
what?
Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
I do.
Not great.
Nope.
I did. It did bring up childhood trauma, though, and that was
you got bit by a lion.
Yep. Kicked by a fawn. No, like you know, C.S. Lewis has a Christian streak to his writing.
Sure.
And so my dad was really cool with that. So we had a lot of those C.S. Lewis books in the house.
Yeah.
And I was reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it sounded like Turkish Delight was the greatest thing ever.
Oh, totally. That one idea, like, no, I had never eaten Turkish Delight.
Yeah.
But the idea that a queen could steal a child's soul with chocolate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and it's this not must even be chocolate. Great. No, it's shit.
Yeah.
It's absolute garbage.
So my parents did, like, it seemed like a huge concession for them to make a dessert. And that's what I chose, and it was shit.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Childhood trauma never leaves you.
Yep. So,
also, didn't he write the Screwtape letters?
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry that Alex thinks that people think Brits are stupid.
I think what's amazing is that Alex is just saying that I thought Brits were stupid until they liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think they're smart. And I'm going to say everybody else thought you guys were stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's that simple.
So this next clip has to do with the idea of this Bilderberg press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right up front. I prepared this episode a while ago, so I don't remember exactly what's in all of these clips. But this one is labeled Total Insanity.
That's a good name.
We don't tend to hype things up is our problem. I have talked to people in the Senate, and then I was at dinner with this big media executive, the head of a major media company, that I was invited to another party, and these people were there. Turned out I was invited because they were there and they wanted to talk to me. And it wasn't the old co-op me, hey, shut up, we'll give you a job. It was, hey, we talked to these Bilderberg attendees and they're sick of it all too. And, you know, they're thinking about going public. Now, whether that happens this year or not, there is a debate in Bilderberg of that happening because I was speaking to one of the top people involved in the British government with security liaisoning with Bilderberg, who said, I've met with their head people, their spokesman. They're thinking about a press conference. How will you respond to a press conference? And what are your ideas they want to know? So it's a dialogue directly with Bilderberg.
Whoa! How crazy is that? That's awesome! The Bilderberg is sending out people to see how Alex would respond to a press conference before they decide to do a press conference.
Yeah. Sometimes there really is a moment where you're like, he should have been 5150'd.
Uh-huh.
Like, he truly believes that the TV is talking to him.
Sure.
All the time.
Well, I mean, this is in 2013. At the same time, he's thinking that the Boston bombing coverage is responding to the things
yeah,
that he's saying.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, yeah, this is a dark period. 2013 was rough.
Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
It was rough on all of us.
This Bilderberg press conference did not happen.
Nope.
Probably because they got word that Alex would respond poorly.
Well, what happened was they asked Alex what would he do, and he was like, I'm going to make a big stink about it, and they were like, well, I guess we shouldn't do the fucking press conference. You idiot for telling us your plan.
Yeah. So Alex disappears for a bit, and David Knight takes back over hosting. And sure. Then we... Right, I understand.
Right.
I'm not playing any of David Knight. Hold it. I realized as soon as I said that, I am going to play something funny.
But it's funny! You know, that is, if objectively...
Hold on. That's as excited as anyone has been, positively or negatively, for David
totally.
Knight ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
No, that is what's kind of amazing about our show, is outside of this context, we all sound fucking crazy. People are cheering out their balls off for David Knight for some reason.
Well, for David Knight not being
yeah,
here.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Amazing.
So he hosts for a bit, and then we get to the fourth hour, and we get to Alex on the streets.
Right. That's the good stuff.
And that brings us
like
to...
Roots Maneuver.
This brings us me to my second song parody. Alex on the streets!
Oh, no.
No. No. No. It doesn't exist.
Oh! Hold on. Everyone stop.
I don't
stop,
know what's going
stop,
on.
Stop,
terrified.
No, you don't understand, right? If you have a microphone, you can start a chant and make someone do something. But if you guys just start a chant, it almost makes me want to not do it more to establish dominance.
I also can't tell if it was Dan or dance, and it makes me feel like I should dance.
All right.
This has gotten out of control.
Can I have another one of these? Another Reliance? People are telling me to dance, so I'm going to need another beer.
So anyway, the point is that Alex is on the streets. That was the extent of the song.
That's as good as you get.
Thank you. So here's Alex on the streets, and he runs into some listeners.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live right now.
Hey, how you doing? Unbelievable.
Thank God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last 30 seconds, I've run to three listeners walking down by the Houses of Parliament. I mean, my God, InfoWars is on fire in Britannia. And there is Big Ben, now called Big Queen Elizabeth II.
Wait, what?
Named after Queen Elizabeth. And we are here, and this is unprecedented. Watson, where are you at? Watson, I just ran into three people that are listeners in like 20 seconds.
I've been following you on here, trying to track you down.
Oh, my God. You're a listener, too?
Also, yeah.
My God, I mean, this is insane. We just ran into three guys right there.
Yeah.
That's just people that are awake, huh?
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Always, I mean, cause it's not about our show being big. It's about the fact that people are really waking up. What's your name? What do you want to say to folks out there?
Mark. I don't know what to say. Because I watch every day. And when you said you were coming in at Big Ben, I thought, you know, I live in London.
Oh, that's why we're running to the listeners. You guys came down here.
Only
said it about an hour. Wow. Is that why you came down?
Yeah, I'm from London.
Oh, that's why I just ran into a bunch of listeners. Wow.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason. Yeah.
That would almost be like if I was shocked to run into listeners here.
Yeah.
We said we'd be somewhere.
Holy cow. There's one out of every three of you knows who we are. That's so crazy. I also like how PJ was a bit like, I guess we had to come.
I'm here already.
Yeah, why not?
I'll bring my brother. That'll diffuse some things.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So Alex has to have a really bit of a harsh realization, and that is that the reason he's running into listeners is because he said he was going somewhere, and they decided to show up. It's
right.
Not organic.
Right, right, right.
So he has to deal with that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting live. Now, I thought we'd really gotten crazy because I got out of the car, and every person we ran into was a listener. But now I figured it out. They heard me say an hour ago we were coming down here, and... this is just insane. Hey, how you doing? Oh, my gosh. Everybody's awake down here. What is going on in England, so Watson?
Awake.
People are really awake, man.
This is people been listening.
People have been listening. There is Big Ben, now known as Queen Elizabeth. Not joking, they renamed it. It's like Queen Elizabeth Tower, right, Watson?
No, it's still Big Ben.
It's still Big Ben, even though they say so? Even if they say it doesn't exist?
Who cares? It's great.
Why would he think they changed the name?
Because they did. It is Queen Elizabeth Tower, isn't
Wait,
it?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The bell is called Big Ben. The tower is called Queen Elizabeth Tower.
Thank you for having one person tell us.
Y'all!
Because if you had chanted that, I would not have heard it.
Y'all just give everything to the queen.
So
hell yeah!
So Alex has, realized this. He's got Paul Joseph Watson along with him, who seems really bummed out.
He does seem really bummed. I really think he thought Alex would never come to his hometown.
Right.
I really think he's like, well, at least I won't have to meet him.
And if he does come here, he won't be forcing me to deal with how popular he is all the time. But unfortunately, that is exactly what happens in our next clip.
That sounds right.
David Knight is in studio, and he's trying to interview Paul Joseph Watson about the goings-on at Bilderberg. And then Alex comes in with a real nice side swipe.
Okay.
Yes. You know, Paul, you mentioned HSBC, the money laundering, the drug issues going on there. Maybe that explains why David Petraeus is there. You know, maybe they needed some help doing the money laundering and the drug trade a little bit better. He's had so much experience there with the CIA and... Afghanistan. Maybe he can offer HSBC a little bit of pointers.
Are you a listener?
Yeah.
That's quite possible, yes. I guess he's got a lot more time on his hands now.
That's right. That's right.
But there's a lot of interesting people out. We've heard Bill Gates is in London for a function.
Hey, tell folks all the listeners that are showing up.
We're just being mobbed. See the listeners.
We only got around the corner just looking around Big Ben. We're being mobbed.
It's getting harder and harder for Alex to cover anything because everybody recognizes him.
Yeah, that's why.
Wow.
Let's pretend we're talking about some serious stuff, and then Alex, like a little kid, hey, tell them how popular we are.
I'll tell you this, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have been trying so hard not to talk about masturbation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is about as hard as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Alex, be stroking. So that's about all we got on the 5th.
Sure.
Alex continues to hang around at Big Ben and what have you.
Right.
And run into people who know who he is because he said he was going to be there.
Right.
And we get to the 6th.
Okay.
On the 6th.
Yeah.
Second hour, we have the same setup. David Knight has hosted the first hour.
Right.
And he's like, all right, now let's kick the ratings up and go
sure.
to Alex.
We finished jerking off. Now it's time to get to work.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And these are the same people who want to see the world's population reduced by anywhere from 90 to 99%. So they want to be the ruling global elite. We're talking about the 1%
snoring.
Of the 1% of the 1%. You know, the kind of people that are meeting at Bilderberg, the kind of people that have this eugenics agenda. And they openly proclaim it with things like that statue that's on its knees out there. I don't know what it's called,
statue.
A Skeletor or something like that. It's truly it is a creepy skeleton. And we're joined now live by Alex and Max Kaiser in London. Hello, Alex.
I'm not ready to go to him yet.
Okay, he's not ready just yet. So he'll be with us in just a moment. They're still setting up some technical issues there.
Almost.
Not mad at the crew. Not mad at the group.
No. So they get their shit together, and now we give this another try.
All right, let's do it.
We have some other information here from some other breaking news. We've got some classified documents talking about how CIA drone strikes often killed unknown people. This is from Russia Today, and that's no new breaking news, but we do have some breaking news from Alex, so let's go to him right now.
Here we go.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. He's not ready just yet.
Oh!
Okay.
So close.
Ooh, so smooth.
So close. All right. So now we're Casey at the bat. All
uh-huh.
right. We've got one strike through. Uh-oh. Big swing and a miss.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got another one. Big swing and a miss. I can't imagine there's any way that Casey will strike out.
Unfortunately, he gets a dinger.
Oh, wow.
On the third toss.
Third shot. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Well, no, we don't actually have a clip of that.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
It's uneventful. He just says hi to Alex.
Oh. What does Alex say?
Hey, David Knight, I'd like you to meet my weird buddy, Max Kaiser. So Max Kaiser is sitting there with Alex on the second day because he's also there for Bilderberg.
Right.
And he has a freedom to him that I really admire. I've mentioned this before, but he's like the only guest that comes in who really seems like he can fuck with Alex. Like, he can insult him to his face. He can yeah. try and derail stuff. And that is kind of fun.
My money is on the internet and it's pretend.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fuck with me.
Yeah. I wear weird hats.
Yeah.
So Alex brings Max Kaiser into the proceeding. And
okay.
it goes a little bit how you might expect.
Oh, yeah?
Now, Max Kaiser was a very successful stockbroker on Wall Street before he retired at an early age, the inventor of the Hollywood Stock Exchange virtual trading system, used by Cantor and Fitzgerald. It's now used on many trading markets around the world. You know who he is. He doesn't need to be introduced. And he's had TV shows on BBC, Al Jazeera, RT right now, Press TV. You name it, he's got it. And I wanted to get his take on Bilderberg 2013, so he's here. But I got to say this. Max Kaiser kept saying, you got to come to Europe, you got to come to England. I'd been here like 7 years ago and been here before that. And I'd maybe every 50th person I would cross down the street would say, hey, Alex Jones, I got mobbed. A third of the people on the train, just walking down the street, people hear my voice. We have more listeners in England of every race, color, and creed, religion than we have in the United States, in Austin, Texas, my main command center.
So, Max, I'm going to bring you in here to yep. talk about Bilderberg and what have you. But first, let me tell you, you sign off on how fucking popular I am.
It really is like, oh, this guy's a really successful stockbroker. He's got his own. We brought you in to tell me how great I am.
Yep.
I'm pretty great, right, Max?
Can you double down?
Tell me how great I am. One third.
Max.
One out of three.
One out of.
Yeah.
Wait. He's going to get the Richard Reeve treatment.
Uh-oh.
Forced to say one
Forced
third.
Forced to say, it's a fucking deer.
Ah!
Yeah. All right.
So Alex, while Max is there, they don't really talk about anything important. But
sure.
while Max is there, he tries to sell his water filters.
To one third of the people on the street?
They could, yeah.
Water filters, get your water filters here.
Max decides to derail things. And this is what I'm talking about. Max Kaiser is a man who is free and does not give a fuck if Alex wants him back again.
I like it.
We're financing this operation in a win-win with Pro-Pure, with the British-made filters, the Pro-1 filters, all of it, stainless steel. That's how I'm financing this trip. With a sale, win-win-win, the lowest price anywhere, 15% off, promo code WATER15 at InfoWars store.
I can drink my own pee.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, plugging our sponsor that way. Unbelievable. Water.
Stuck in a desert island and you have nothing to drink but your own pee.
It's Pro Pure Filters. That's the kind of survival techniques you need to learn. And I endorse it 100%. I have one. Everyone should have one.
You really have one?
Absolutely. I'm thinking about getting one.
He doesn't give a shit.
That is one of the greatest negating the premises I've ever seen.
But what's great is he negated his own premise.
Yeah. Within one sentence. Yeah. It didn't take a grilling. It was like, hey, did you commit that crime? No, absolutely not. Are you sure? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I might have.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Sometimes I will.
But it also seems to imply that he's been drinking his own pee unfiltered for a while.
I mean, aren't they big?
What?
Aren't the water filters, like, sizable?
Well, there's some that are, like, the size of a small home.
Right.
Yeah, or like size of a school bus.
Right. So yeah. If you're on a desert island, you've already lost. Yeah.
But then some of them are like just sit on a countertop.
Okay.
Still too big to pee in. Well.
Well.
You could do it, but that'd be...
That's just resolve.
Right. You're right. I don't dream big.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we get back to talking about how popular Alex is.
Sure.
And Alex and Max are talking about this. And it actually leads to Max saying something that is really fucking inconvenient for Alex.
Okay.
He wants to know why the British people are so awake. And Max's answer, talking about negating the premise.
Okay.
This negates some of Alex's entire world.
They're very sleepy.
I'm really ashamed to say this because I say America's waking up, and it is to a great extent. I have been in England, and it is awake. I mean, I cannot walk down the street without having twice the attention I get in the United States, which again I see as a radar, sonar ping. Man, let me tell you, you're right, Max. But how can Europe be under such deep tyranny? Is that why they're more awake?
Let's talk about the UK for a second, because in the UK, unlike the US, you have actually a left-wing press. There is a left in the UK. You have people who are in the Communist Party, and they have seats in Parliament, and there's a left-wing press. And you have real debate between what is identified as right-wing issues.
You have real libertarians like UKIP, they're good guys.
UKIP is challenging the people on the right, and you've got people, of course, who are identified with the left, but you end up with a lot more debate in terms of political agenda, which people are discussing, and it filters down to the man on the street and the rank and file in the police department who are a lot more aware of some of these political debates going on. Whereas in the U.S., you've got the far right and the near right. You don't even have a center. It's all right wing in the United States. There's no left at all. I mean, there's no liberal media at all.
Now, see, I would agree. I'd say it's all establishment. You got a fake left and a fake right. You would see liberal as like Thomas Jefferson liberal. But when Americans hear you say liberal, they're thinking the Maoist, you know, at the Justice Department.
The Maoists at the Justice Department.
Yep.
That's how you respond when Max Kaiser tells you all of your media is right wing.
Yep.
Despite everything Alex says, that like everything is the left-wing press. It's all, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Hey, nope. Alex, just to point something out, everybody's homogenous fucks, you asshole. Over here, we actually have interesting debate between left-wing and right-wing people, most of whom walk up to you on the train.
A third.
That's not most. Mm-mm. Perhaps a plurality of which. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of inconvenient for Alex and why he has to start spinning into Maoists at the Justice Department.
I can't...
Our Attorney General was a Maoist.
When? Which one?
Oh, no, I meant Republican.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. You mean right wing?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So the 6th, not much more happens. Alex leaves at a certain point. David Knight continues to bore me.
I mean, even Robert F. Kennedy was a fucking right-wing Department of Justice asshole.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get good until he realized that other people were human beings. It took him a long time.
I thought you meant RFK Jr.
No, like, no.
When was he in the Justice Department?
Oh, boy. Next year?
Yeah. That is unfortunate, but yeah, probably. Sorry in advance.
Yeah. Hey. The end of sentence.
Okay. So we jump to the 7th.
Okay.
And Alex is bringing out the big guns.
Dan, you have proven that we are made to hype.
His guest on the 7th, the Queen.
All right.
Jordan with the finger wag.
Nah. How dare you support this behavior? Nah.
Nah, it's not. It's not the Queen.
We're going to talk to David Icke and more. Straight ahead, and he'll be with you in the next hour for some. We'll take your phone calls, and you'll meet his son. Stay with us.
It's David Icke and his son. And I decided to spare you all. We're not going to listen to any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not really that interesting of an interview. It's kind of like, here's what I run into.
Yeah.
This whole time is essentially a snooze.
Yeah.
There is almost nothing going on, and then you can find footage of him like yelling into a bullhorn.
That's about it. Here's what it is, right? We've watched a man masturbate for quite a while now.
It's true.
That's not interesting.
I feel like we...
But it's too long.
Sure. We're edging and there's nothing coming.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I need to get to the...
Yeah, the payoff is David Icke is here? What the fuck?
I don't understand how David Icke made everybody's lizard people boring.
Ugh.
Like, that sucks so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's not really allowed to say stuff like that on InfoWars when he comes on.
That makes sense.
We want to try and protect some of the credibility
of
the
brand,
business.
Yeah.
So we jump to the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no Saturday show, and mm-mm. So this is Sunday. It's kind of like things have wrapped up.
Yeah.
And this is where Alex has given a speech.
Sure.
He's gone around. He's been outside Bilderberg for a while. They were watching people drive in.
That was exciting. One out of every 20?
Yeah. Huh? All the elites were coming in, and they were putting a newspaper in front of their face so the weirdos couldn't take pictures of them.
What kind of lunatic believes that a billionaire is driving by looking over and being like, oh, Alex?
I mean, everyone on this show.
That's a fair point.
So anyway, Alex discusses his experience here and gives sort of a post-mortem on how things went.
Yeah, good.
We'll come back after that segment and play some of the excerpts of my speech yesterday to 2,000 people on a grassy knoll right across from the Grove Estates and Hotel, where 150 world leaders, including the head of Google, the Prime Minister of England, the Queen of the Netherlands, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Bill Gates, all of them were meeting. And let me tell you what happened after I gave this 45-minute speech. And they had to turn away 1,000 people because they couldn't even fit. When I gave this speech, the police came over, the head police, the deputy police chief, and said, I want to hug, you're right, and hugged me. And the police lined up and were demanding to hug me and had tears on their eyes and said, we know it's basically true. I mean, that is the level of awakening that we are seeing.
I love the idea that he came up to and was like, we know it's basically true.
Yeah. I can't get over the hat, like the idea of the cop coming up with a hat just being like, hey, Alex, you're right about everything.
Basically.
And then pulling out the billy club and being like, swinging it around.
Yeah. Now please, you sweaty, thick-necked man,
yes!
Give me a hug.
Also, there's a restraining order of about 1,000 feet. In case you were wondering, you're basically right, but get the fuck out of here!
Now, what's interesting is that Alex said that he gave a speech in front of 2,000 people. And
oh, boy.
He's pretty close.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
About 400?
No, I would say 1,000, maybe.
Oh, okay. That's not that big of an exaggeration.
1,500, maybe. I would believe it.
That's great.
Some of the camera angles are kind of difficult to tell, but it is a pretty nice-sized crowd.
Right.
I don't know what makes it a grassy knoll.
I mean, maybe he's not the kill words the president on there.
It's not the words I would have chosen, but... Yeah, his speech sucked. I wanted to get clips of it, and I wanted to play them, but they're all just like, we will beat the globalists. Woo!
Yeah.
It's kind of like standard cookie cutter, I mean, paint was, by numbers.
I think what we're all wanting to know is, was Tyranny Crusher there?
He did have to break out the bullhorn at one point because the mic failed.
Everybody loves a good Tyranny Crusher, 1 through 4.
Now, here is a little fun piece of trivia.
Okay.
This was also attended by David Icke, and David Icke gave a speech which might have helped turn out more people.
Mm-hmm.
But also, someone else from our show's catalog was there.
Uh-huh.
Carrie Cassidy from
Project... What the fuck? We're all insane. We're all nuts. We're all nuts. We have all broken our brains together. If we're cheering for a random mention of Carrie Cassidy... And legitimately, we are all excited. We want to know what's going on. I'm down. I'm with you. I'm not, like, judging you. I'm just saying that we have to all, like, objectively recognize that we're nuts.
It is fair.
Exactly.
So here's the thing. Carrie Cassidy also was there at Bilderberg protesting, and she gave a speech, probably slightly less attended.
Sure.
But we already covered it on the show. We covered it on a Project Camelot episode.
Oh, no!
A couple of years back.
Uh-oh.
So, I don't have any clips of that.
Now, well, in our defense, you know, like, a lot of people weren't listening back then.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
And also, her speech sucked.
That's definitely true.
So, now, here's where we get into even more trouble.
Yeah.
Alex is going, sort of, in the aftermath of going on Piers Morgan and saying, like, 1776, we'll commence again.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Then that was the one where everybody was like, ah, fuck off, you're gone.
Right. And and when he was here, that was when he got interviewed by Andrew Neil. When he started, like, yelling, and Andrew Neil called him a lunatic.
Yeah.
But we've covered that on the show already, too. It's so... If I had known we would ever be in London, I would have held off.
Essentially what you're saying is that this is all your fault.
We're to share some blame.
That's fair. That's fair.
But here's
the only person blameless?
Here's a little clip of Alex with Andrew Neil just for a refresher.
Okay.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game, okay? Our government in the U.S. is building FEMA camps. We have an NDAA where they disappear people now. You have this arrest for public safety, life in prison.
You are the worst person I've ever interviewed.
No, it's basically off with their heads, disappear them,
David, thank
take
you
them
for
away.
InfoWars.com. You're watching the Sunday Politics. We have an idiot
freedom
on the program
will not
today.
Stop. You will not stop
just
freedom.
20 minutes.
You will not stop the Republic. Humanity is awakening. InfoWars.com.
Pretty good stuff.
Man.
The whole time Andrew Neil is doing this, like making, woo, we got an idiot here.
You know, there are some things, not many, maybe even just only this one. But it would be nice to scream at Andy Neil, the 1776 is coming back. I'd be a little jealous. That would be fun to get into his face.
And it's got to be pretty fulfilling to get like him to break and say, we have an idiot on the program.
Yeah.
You're the worst person I've ever interviewed.
That really is kind of a dream of mine.
He's interviewed a lot of people.
He really has.
And Alex is the worst.
I think some of them have even committed a lot of murders.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But not quite as annoying as Alex. Gotta say, kind of the polar opposite reaction to that third of the people on the train.
Yeah. Listen, I would really think that Charles Manson was the worst, but goddamn, Alex, you win.
Andrew Neil, the voice of the other two-thirds of the people on the train who don't want to talk to Alex. So, Jordan, this actually brings us to the end of our clips.
Oh! Well, we figured it out. We got to the end.
Yeah, we did. Alex made a fool of himself on TV. There was really... more or less no coverage of Bilderberg.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for the fantasy of having this press conference. There was that.
Yeah. But there was a lot of, and I hate saying it over and over and again, but I mean, it is weird to hear a man jerk off on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you're watching it like an OnlyFans, If you're watching like an OnlyFans, then you at least have like some sort of understanding of what's occurring. But instead, he's just like, I'm so famous. I'm so great. Everybody loves me. I'm so great. Everybody loves me. I'm so great. You know? And it's like, you gotta use some lotion and not a David Knight on this one.
I was lost and I was looking into the middle distance because I was imagining an InfoWars OnlyFans. Debatably, they have something for everyone. All types. Folks over there.
I don't know if they've got something for me.
No.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that that's not an OnlyFans I would subscribe to.
Do you like various versions of weird, angry white men? This is the OnlyFans for you.
I don't appreciate that answer seems to be a lot of people.
I also don't like that we're talking about this, and that would probably get him a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think he probably wouldn't be down with it.
Here's what I think. If Alex Jones needs an OnlyFans, we won.
I would sort of add to that.
Yeah.
If Alex Jones wants an OnlyFans, we have also won.
Yeah.
Because we have changed his mind on sex work. And how it should be destigmatized. So, Jordan, what do you feel like you've learned other than stuff about masturbating on the radio?
I feel like the only thing I've really learned is that it's Queen Elizabeth Tower. And the bell is Big Ben.
Yep.
Yep.
And that kind of, in and of itself, is worth the trip.
I mean, it does make me feel a little bit stupid.
You shouldn't, because to be honest, when I was listening to this, that was when I learned that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
No, but see, here's the thing, though, is that 7 years ago, I came to London,
mm-hmm.
and I took a tour of Big Ben. And I am sure somebody told me that. And somehow I was just like, that can't be true. You can't love a queen like that. That's so weird that you would have a monarchy.
Mm.
You know, right? Like,
sure.
It makes sense. Like, here's the thing. It
oh,
makes sense
here's the
to
thing,
me.
Folks.
It makes sense to me. Like, being here and looking at the name of the queen being on a tower, I'm like, oh, colonialism makes sense because they wanted to get the fuck away from her.
Mm.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we are indeed.
Yep. Yes, sir. What did you learn?
Nothing.
Eh.
I know what I learned. You know what I learned?
What?
Sometimes it's not worth it. Like, to if you're looking for something, you're not going to find it, is what I'm saying. I'm looking for Alex doing some fun travelogues,
going
around.
Right.
And it's just not there.
Nope.
It's just not there. He's just talking about how great he is the whole time.
It's David Icke's all the way down.
It is. But thank you all so much
thank
for coming out.
So
this
much.
Has been the show.
Thank you so much.
You all
much.
Have been wonderful. We are going to take a minute, and then we'd be happy to meet you all out at the bar area. But thank you all so much for coming out. You've been wonderful.